can make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
That don't kill me, can only make me stronger.
They play that in my gym all the time. I know that. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Super intense workouts like P90X, Insanity, and CrossFit are all the rage among a certain set of very driven exercisers. But while the extreme intensity of the workouts is kind of the point, some people take it so far they wind up physically sick. Here with me now to talk about this culture of extreme exercising is Julie Beck, Senior Associate Editor at The Atlantic, who covers health and recently wrote about this trend. And Gretchen Reynolds is back with us. She writes the Phys Ed column for the New York Times Well blog. Hi, Julie. Welcome to WNYC. And Gretchen, welcome back.
Hi.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Julie, can you tell us a bit about how these programs work for the uninitiated and what's special or different about them for anyone who hasn't heard of CrossFit or Insanity or P90X?
Yeah, I mean, I think they all have their own approach, but I think what sort of ties them together, this CrossFit, which is a lot of, you know, workouts of the day, a lot of weightlifting, the P90X sort of fitness video series, and then these races like Tough Mudder, where there's like obstacles with live wires and things like that. I think the what ties them all together is that the difficulty is sort of a selling point. They're saying, you know, this is really going to challenge you. This is really hard, and that's why people are drawn to it, because they want to push themselves.
So to put a fine point on it, I didn't realize until I read your article, Julie, that some people push it until they throw up. Is that a thing?
It is a thing. I think it's maybe not the most common thing in every gym, but CrossFit in particular has this sort of unofficial mascot, which is a drawing of a clown vomiting. His name is Pukey the Clown. So they have
adopted this. Pukey the Clown?
Yes, Pukey the Clown. They've sort of adopted him as their mascot, and which suggests to me, you know, some people see working so hard until you throw up to be sort of a badge of honor that you are, you know, you're tough and you're pushing yourself.
Gretchen, you're familiar with this? Puking as a badge of honor at the end of a workout or in the middle of a workout?
Well, I think anyone who's been around adolescent boys very often knows that can be a badge of honor. Although
freshman frat parties.
Yes, exactly.
But usually not from working out. But all right, so it can be a badge of honor under different circumstances. Yeah, I'm looking at the some of the stuff about the mascot, and he looks pretty much exactly as his name implies. And Julie, we looked at the blog of one of the people you quote in your piece, a CrossFit enthusiast named Lizbeth Darsh, and she wrote a defense of Pukey. Here's some of what she wrote on a blog called In Praise of the Vomiting Clown. Quote, CrossFit at its core is about the hard truths of life. Good things take effort. Results don't come easy. Sometimes to get to a really good place, you have to go through a really bad time. Pukey reminds us of the reality of CrossFit, of effort, of life. When I see him now, she writes, I grin like an idiot. I love that stupid clown and all he represents. We, all of us in this CrossFit movement, are different. We have rejected Easy Street. We're willing to work hard for what we want, and it's a good thing, unquote. But, working out hard or the larger no pain, no gain attitude toward life, that and not vomiting aren't mutually exclusive. That may be worth saying out loud. Or some people don't agree, huh?
Yeah, so Darsh actually, she used to own a CrossFit gym, and she told me that she only saw people actually throw up from working out a handful of times. So I think it's not that this is happening so frequently and so often, and I'm also sure it depends on the culture of the gym itself. But, you know, she told me she sort of sees the clown as more of a metaphorical mascot than perhaps a literal call to work out so hard that you vomit. And, you know, that he just sort of represents an attitude of pushing yourself to the edge.
So, listeners, who does extreme exercise and wants to talk about it? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Do you participate in the Tough Mudder races and want to describe them for people who never heard of them? Or go to a CrossFit gym, 212-433-9692. 9692. Maybe you're into, you know, a more old school version of this, like being a triathlete. 212-433-9692. Tell us your motivation. Tell us what you see around you. How do you stay healthy while pushing yourself to the max of fitness? 212-433-9692. And Gretchen Reynolds, what is it that extreme exercisers want? That same woman in Julie's piece, Lisbeth, mentioned in her post that she's willing to work hard for what she wants. But what's really the goal of this extreme form? Is it the highest level of fitness? Is it camaraderie? Is it possible to boil this down?
I don't think it is possible to boil it down, because I do think that motivation for someone to push themselves that hard is going to be so individual, because the fact of the matter is very, very few people will do that. We are talking about a tiny subset of people who exercise, which is a small subset of the population to start with. The majority of them, and I'm sure Julie found this, will be men. That there is some pretty good evidence showing that men are much more driven by a need to compete. And often, if you are pushing yourself that hard, you aren't really pushing yourself. You are being pushed by someone beside you, by a coach, by someone else. It tends to be fairly difficult to push yourself that hard. It's also quite difficult to do that repeatedly. There aren't very many people who will want to throw up after exercise. The majority of people, having done it once, will learn that this is my limit and back down from there. So I think the motivations that drive someone to push themselves to that extent are very difficult to characterize, and often will have something to do with an inherent need to be better than other people, to be better than themselves. I mean, Julie, what do you think?
Yeah, so I actually spoke with a researcher who studies exercise motivation, and I mean, he was pretty much in line with you that it's a very complex thing. It's not just that somebody is motivated to work out or they're not. There's, you know, a variety of things that go into it. He was sort of speculating that, you know, while it may be that these people who really love extreme workouts are sort of intrinsically motivated, they think it's fun, they really love exercising, he said that it's also possible that they are motivated by these sort of more negative motivations, that, you know, they feel like they're working out because they would either feel bad if they didn't, or, like you said, that they think someone else wants them to.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio as we talk about extreme exercising. On our Facebook page, someone writes, "I swam in a lane with a guy who puked trying to keep up with me. Male pride. He was out of shape." Melissa on Facebook writes, "I puked after Bikram yoga. Does that count?" Dominic in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dominic.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I had actually called about the housing segment earlier and heard you were doing something on PNIDX later, so I thought I'd call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the original cast members from P90X, and I...
The video.
The video. They and I actually find myself working out to my 10-year younger self now. And on some days, I'm able to keep up with myself. Other days, I have to modify. And I think, you know, at least for me, modification is the key. I know that's one of the things that's emphasized, especially in that video series, where they will give you a standard version, an extreme version, which is what I modeled in that case, and also a modified or easier version if you need it on a particular day. And
What's the core of a P90X workout?
What's the core of it?
Yeah. What are you doing? For people who don't know, like, what kind of workout is it?
It's a workout that you can do in your home, and basically they combine a lot of different athletic-type movements that involve very simple equipment that you can do in your own home with a yoga mat, a chin-up bar, and free weights or a set of dumbbells, essentially. So it's very small. And basically, they're... it's based on the system of muscle confusion. The idea that after a few weeks of doing something, your body becomes efficient at it, and it stops growing. So at a certain point in there, the workout shifts to confuse the muscles to make them work a little bit harder. And it's that system of continual confusion that stops you from plateauing, is where people start to burn out.
And to what end? To look really muscular or toned? I mean, you're way beyond like cardiac health with this, right? So people are going for some other goal.
Well, no, I would disagree with that. I do it just because I feel good when I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this combines cardio plus muscle, mm-hmm. Muscle building, and the two are related. A lot of people who get into it initially get into it because they want to lose weight and have better general fitness.
Mm-hmm.
But losing weight for a lot of people is a main part of it. But the thing with the muscle building is that muscle actually burns fat as you sleep. So the more muscle you have, the quicker you're going to burn the fat. So that in combination with cardio, they find to be the most effective, and I certainly have as well.
Good description. Thank you. I really appreciate your call. Donay in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Donay.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
You do CrossFit, right?
Yes, I CrossFit. I've done two Tough Mudders, and I'm about to do my second phase of the Spartan race.
Now, again, for people who don't know these terms, what's a Tough Mudder race?
It's an endurance race. It's about 10 to 12 miles, 26 obstacles, 24 obstacles sometimes, electrical shock.
Electrical shock?
It's not too pleasant, that part, actually. It's about the hardest part of the race.
Is there a certain point in the course, like X miles, where you get administered an electrical shock?
At the end of the race and some way mid through, you're usually shocked.
For what purpose?
The shocking part, I don't know. I really can't tell you.
Julie, help me out with this. Do you know about this?
I do know about it. I don't know why. I think it's just another element of difficulty that they add.
Because it slows you down, in effect. You have to somehow recover from whatever the physical experience of the shock is.
Speeds you up. You want to get through that part of the course as fast as possible.
Okay. And the Spartan that you're going to do, what's the Spartan?
Spartan race, they have four. You have the sprint, which is a 3-mile run with some obstacles, and then you have the super, which is 8 miles and more obstacles, and then you have the beast, and that's like the trifecta. You can do that. That's 13 miles and more obstacles. So it gets the difficulty increases as the race changes, the name of the race changes.
What do you love about it?
I CrossFit, and I've been doing it because I was diabetic. I'm diabetic.
Uh-huh.
And so I needed to do something physical to get my weight down, to have better health. So I joined the box, CrossFit Dynamics. The Spartan races and the Tough Mudder races, I just get to utilize the strength that I've acquired. It's fun. I don't think of it as I have to do it like to compete with mm-hmm. the general public. I just want to do it because I want to see how far I've come.
Have you puked?
No, I have not. As a matter of fact, my coaches have encouraged us not to push ourselves to the point where we are in that state. He says that's no good.
So that's the thing. It's in the conversation.
Yeah, so I see the Pukey the Clown, and our gym, our box, they're all different. There's no posters of Pukey. I don't think anyone, I've never seen anyone in my box throw up after workout. Exhaustion, yeah, people on the floor, but no throwing up.
Donay, great call. Thank you very much. Good luck out there.
You too. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we talk about extreme forms of working out and physical fitness with Julie Beck, senior associate editor at The Atlantic, who covers health, who recently wrote about this trend, and Gretchen Reynolds, who writes the Phys Ed column for the New York Times Well blog, and more of your calls in a minute. Julie, one interesting thing to me in your article was the person who told you that some folks get into it because it's a way to control a part of their life when they may otherwise feel like they don't have control, and that if they adhere to the program, they're pretty much guaranteed concrete results. Is that you find that, you know, people's lives are out of control in so many ways, our work lives, our family lives, whatever. And this is an area where by sheer force of will, they can have some kind of control.
Yeah, so this was a study, it was a marketing study actually, that showed that people are drawn to these products, or I guess in this case, exercise programs that require them to work harder when they are feeling sort of out of control. And so the author was sort of telling me that one thing about exercise is that we're sort of led to believe that it's something that you can control, and, you know, however hard you work, that's how much you're going to get out of it. Whereas, you know, maybe you try really hard at your job, but you still don't get that promotion, or you try really hard in your dating life, but you guys still break up. And so we sort of think that working out is something that we have complete control over. And so that may be why, you know, if you're feeling really out of control in different areas of your life, exercise might be something that you would turn to sort of feel like you have a handhold for yourself.
And from our webpage, Francis from Greenpoint writes to this, "I don't work out until I puke, but I do push myself as hard as I can. Doing CrossFit, each workout feels like a small victory. It strengthens me mentally and physically, enabling me to try to accomplish my goals outside the gym." Very well put. Rose, Mary in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yes, hi. I'm one of the people that is very extreme in my workout. In the mornings, I run 5 to 6 miles. I leave my house at 4:30. I get on the track by 5. And I do run my mileage. And then when I'm finished, I get to my gym and I do another workout on cross training. For me, I think I'm extreme because I go to the gym twice a day, morning and evening. Also, I'm an instructor. But I feel the people that puke when they work out, it depends on what shape their body is in. A lot of times people are not regular gym goers, and they come to the gym and they try to get everything in there like maybe 1 or 2 days. And I feel that's why their body reacts in that way.
Gretchen Reynolds, do you want to comment on that, kind of the workout schedule?
Well, the workout schedule and also fundamentally why people puke. Frequently, it's not just that you are pushing yourself hard. It's that you've eaten too recently. There's pretty good evidence, and I think Julie touches on this in her article, that when you are exercising at any intensity, the blood does move away from your stomach. You basically stop digesting food. And if you have a lot of food in your stomach, even if you're doing a relatively less intense workout or if you're not in particularly good shape, you will get nauseated. And so, you know, one issue in all of this is make sure you know what you're doing in terms of nutrition before you exercise. Don't have a huge protein-rich meal right before any kind of workout.
Exactly. And I think that's what happened, why a lot of people suffer those pukeness and stuff, because their stomach or their body, they're not regular gym goers. They may only come to the gym twice a week. I go to the gym 6 days a week, and each day I do something different. So I do like more muscle confusion. I do different things different days. You know, every day is a different workout.
Rosemary, thank you so much. Lisa in West Nyack, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi there. I'm a massage therapist, and I work a lot with athletes. I see people on the table. Whenever someone tells me they do CrossFit, it's always followed by about 6 or 7 days a week. And when I feel their muscle tone and their fascia, they're so tight, and they're cycling between these intense workouts and these long periods of injury and recovery, and then this ferocious workout and injury and recovery. And I just wanted to kind of throw that perspective in, that the no pain, no gain perspective, when you go to work out, I think does more damage. You know, the body gives you signs before you're going to vomit. You know, you're nauseous, your mouth starts to water, you feel dizzy. But plowing through those feelings, because people think, if I need to get this workout in, I need to exert this energy to get whatever it is I'm getting, I think is part of leading to the damage of the body and causing it to vomit, too.
So I think you raise a few issues here. Gretchen, for one mm-hmm. thing, she talks about not just the puking, but injury. And so I wonder if you see more injuries than you think are necessary to experience among people who want to be fit from working out too hard?
Yes. In a word, any intense workout does increase the risk of musculoskeletal injury. And there have been studies showing that CrossFit has a relatively high number of injuries. So does running. I mean, any exercise in which you are pounding against the floor, the wall,
right,
whatever it is, you are going to increase your risk of injury. And some people, when they really become committed to these kind of workouts, as a couple of the callers have said, they're going 6, 7, 10 times a week. That does not allow for recovery. And at that point, you really are breaking down the muscular tissue. I mean, training, the whole training response involves slightly pushing your muscles in your body and then allowing time for your body to recover from that, to rebuild those muscles. So you do have to build in some degree of recovery. And when it becomes so important for you to get to the gym that you don't recover, there will at some point be injuries. It's just inevitable.
But when the caller says no pain, no gain itself is not, you know, a phrase to live by when you're working out, probably has to be some gain. I mean, some pain to get some significant gain, doesn't there?
Yes. I mean, that is actually the training response. You do actually have to, as the physiologists say, overload your muscles a little bit. So that if you want to get better, if you don't want to just remain healthy, then you do have to push yourself to some extent. And so it does depend on what you're trying to get out of exercise. And if you are trying to improve essentially competitively, then you have to overload your muscles. You have to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. That does not mean you have to puke. That means you have to do a little harder than you did last week. And in between, give yourself a day or two to recover, because the muscles have to rebuild themselves, and that's how they become stronger.
We're just about out of time, but I want to note that a really interesting thread of conversation seems to have broken out on our website about the deeper motivations for this. And some commenters are saying that this is narcissistic, hearing the stories of the callers who are talking about how hard they work out. But then a commenter, Melissa from New Jersey, responded, quote, "I really would not characterize my love of working out hard as superiority or narcissism. It's more of a form of discipline and release of tension." She writes, "I come from a family of choral singers, and I think what I get out of exercise is similar to what they get out of singing." So there's an analogy that you might not have expected, right? CrossFit and mudder races, tough mudder races to choral singing. So since I probably can't improve on that, I think we're going to leave it there and refer everybody to continue the conversation there if you want at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Gretchen Reynolds writes the Phys Ed column for the New York Times. Julie Beck is senior associate editor at The Atlantic, who covers health and recently wrote about the trend toward extreme exercise and even puking in extreme exercise. Thank you both very much. I really appreciate this. It's been great.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Brian
Lehr. My pleasure.
Brian Lehr on WNYC. More to come. Coming up next, an immigration judge on how she deals with the minor children from Central America who are now being fast-tracked through the system. How do they prove whether they're eligible to stay in the United States or not? Stay with us.